यदारति ब्रह्मणि नैश्चिति पुमान् आचार्य वं ज्ञान विरागरं दहत्य वीर्यं हृदयं जीवाकोशम् पञ्चात्मकं योनिनिवोत्थितोऽग्निः It is said that both the Jivatma, the individual soul, and the Paramatma live together within the heart. In the Vedic version, it is stated, Hridi Hyayam Atma. The soul and the supersoul both live within the heart. The individual soul is liberated when it comes out of the material heart, or cleanses the heart to make it spiritualize. The example given here is very appropriate. Yonim Ivoti Kogni. Agni, or fire, comes out of wood, and by it the wood is completely destroyed. Similarly, when a living entity increases his attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is to be considered like fire. A blazing fire is visible by its exhibition of heat and light. Similarly, when the living entity within the heart becomes enlightened with full spiritual knowledge and detached from the material world, he burns up his material covering of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and becomes free from the five kinds of material attachments, namely, ignorance, false egoism, attachment to the material world, envy, and absorption in material consciousness. Therefore, Panchatmakam is mentioned in this verse. As mentioned in this verse, refers to either the five elements or the five coverings of material contamination. When these are all burned into ashes by the blazing fire of knowledge and detachment, one is fixed firmly in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and advances one's attraction for Krishna by the spiritual master's instructions, the five coverings of the living entity cannot be uncovered from the material heart. The living entity is centered within the heart, and to take him away from the heart is to liberate him. This is the process. One must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and by his instruction, increase one's knowledge and devotional service, become detached from the material world, and thus become liberated. An advanced devotee, therefore, does not live within the material body, but within his spiritual body, just as a dry coconut lives detached from the coconut husk, even though within the husk. The pure devotee's body is therefore called Chinmaya Sharir, spiritualized body. In other words, a devotee's body is not connected with material activities, and as such, the devotee is always liberated. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Srila Rupa Goswami also confirms this. Iha Yasya Harir Dasya Karmana Manasa Gira. Nikilashva avasta su jivan mukta sauchite. Whatever his condition may be, one who is engaged fully with his body, mind, and speech in the service of the Lord is liberated, even within this body. So the Yukumaras are continuing instruction. So here we're saying the position or how the living entity will come to the transcendental platform. By this attachment to the Supreme Lord through following the instructions of the spiritual master, then one is beyond the material contamination. Within the material sphere, then, we are always distracted by all varieties of material endeavor, material consciousness. Seeing material energy, we think, here is something we can do something with that will make us happy. So this kind of distraction then requires all these qualities to be manifest. There must be ignorance, because we're seeing that we're something separate than servant of Krishna. There must be false ego. We're not identifying as a servant, but as master. You know, the attachment to the material results we'll get. All these things come up from material association. So hereby the influence of the instruction of the spiritual master, then one can become free. So the example is given of wood. When you have wood, by igniting with fire, the fire, though, coming from the wood, actually burns up the wood, so there's no more wood. So on the spiritual platform, then one has come to the point where the knowledge that one has used within the material sphere, in connection with devotional service, burns up the material identity. Right? So it says here, burn up the surroundings. Because what we are surrounded by on the material platform is our idea of what the external energy is. The factual position of things, that's not really the main consideration. We see something. And what it is factually, that's necessary knowledge if you're going to interact with whatever is in the environment around you. The difficulty is that the illusion is that by working with these facts, I will enjoy. That's the problem. But the devotee, by coming to the proper standard, he understands that what I see in the environment, that's not for me to enjoy. That's to be engaged in the Lord's service. So we're saying that it burns up the environment. It doesn't mean that, you know, when you start very seriously getting into devotional service, then you're going to be contacted by the head of, you know, some environmental group or something, that you're ruining the environment because you're burning it up, and there's so much smoke that, you know, now that even though they can't see in LA anyway, now the smog is so bad because of all the smoke. No, this is not the problem. It means that the environment in its real state remains, but what burns up is our idea that this is something we can enjoy. Because that's illusion. When we say we're living in the world of Maya, doesn't mean we are situated within the inferior energy of the Lord. It means we're thinking that this inferior energy is for us to enjoy. That's Maya. But if we understand that this inferior energy is for Krishna's pleasure, then we're living in the spiritual platform. That's the definition between the two. It's not what energy you're using, it's what you're doing with it. Right? If I have a few bricks in a tin can, and I start a fire and I put some water and things in that can, it will still be called cooking, though it's inferior arrangement. And if I have some very nice arrangements, nice pots, nice stoves, nice, you know, utensils, that would be considered a superior arrangement. But now my ability at cooking doesn't change because of one or the other. You can cook in both, but unfortunately the quality of the cooking doesn't improve. I mean, of course, the advertisement would make it seem that way, but it doesn't happen. Right? Just because the pot's, you know, authorized by some great cook doesn't make the person using it a good cook. Right? It's one's own ability that makes one a good cook. So, it's not whether one's situated within the spiritual energy or the material energy that actually defines material world or spiritual world. It's what is your consciousness. You are conscious of Krishna, you are situated in the spiritual world. Right? You're transcendentally situated. Though, the location may be still here. Otherwise, how are the acharyas moving through the world, right? Means they don't see it as something to enjoy, so they're situated on the transcendental platform, right? Because they see everything in relationship to the Lord. So this is It's being indicated here, this attachment, or rati, means that one is situated on that platform. And Prabhupada's giving the 2 points, is that either the soul is removed from the heart, and therefore situated in its spiritual body, and then in that position of attachment, one engages everything in the Lord's service. Or one comes to that platform of realization while still within the body, but like the coconut, the dry coconut is not connected to the husk, to the shell. That like that, one is situated in one's spiritual body, even though one appears, you know, being, how you say, if we get out our, how you say, what do you call those things? You know, the GM, what do you call it? That you can tell where you are, you know.
GPS.
Yeah, your GPS, and go, okay, then basically it's about here, about, you know, a few centimeters off of where my, you know, GPS machine is. So the point is that it's not location of the soul or of the body, it's location of the consciousness. Right? Because dealing with illusion and dealing with dead matter, it's all about the location. Right? You know, where you live, what you drive, and what you wear. And if you don't have those, all three of them, you got a problem. You're in the wrong place. Right? So, but on the spiritual, the transcendental platform, that's not the problem. Wherever the soul is conscious of Krishna, that's the spiritual world. Right? That's what we mean. Wherever Lord Chaitanya is, that's Vrindavan. Wherever the great devotees are, that's Vrindavan. We're not just saying this sentimentally, just because, you know, we want to make it sound good. It's a fact. We get too caught up that it's the dead matter that makes it spiritual and material. It's not. It's how that energy is being used. Because for the Lord, it's just His energy. We make the big distinction. God doesn't. Right? Like, we're outside the family, there's so many siblings, we have a relationship with one of them, they're our friend. The other ones, we don't even know who they are, don't care about. But the parent, then all the kids are important. Even though there's difference, but they're all one family. So for Krishna, His energy is His energy. So it's how you interact with Him that makes it special or not. So the key here is that association with the spiritual master. By the grace of the spiritual master, following those instructions, it's that knowledge that is the fire. By practicing that, that will burn up the material condition. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Without the grace of the spiritual master, it doesn't. Because here it said, by the grace, means you can practice sadhana, Prabhupada makes a point. And up to the, you know, the far, edge of the Madhyama platform. That by your determination, of course, it is the grace of the spiritual master, but it's your determination can bring you to that platform. That you're so determined to follow the rules and regulations, follow the instructions. So one will advance nicely. But it's only by the grace, simply grace, that you come to view from a platform. Right? So it's by the grace of the spiritual master to do it. Other than that, that's the Mayavadi's concept, that they think I will come to that perfectional platform still by my own determination. But then that's where the difference comes between the personalist and impersonalist, is that one eternally is always servant, one eternally has a relationship with the spiritual master, one eternally has a relationship with the Supreme Lord. Comments, questions?
Thank you very much, Mara.
As you know, I have a series of questions, but somehow I was prepared to kindly ask you and the noble audience here if I can present it in a debate kind of way.
What's the topic?
The topic and the...
No, the topic means it's a one sentence explanation.
The topic. Okay. The topic is exactly what is in the book.
In
the purpose of Prabhupada.
No, but you indicated the location of it. You haven't said what is the topic.
Okay, because I was starting also Sambandha Jnana, but
within Sambandha, it still defines Abhideya. So when you have an Adhikarana, it means you have a line of Adhikaranas, but the first one is the thesis. Unless that's understood, then your reasons, your examples, your background doesn't have meaning, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like someone's very emotional, so they give you all the history and background, but you have no idea what they're talking about, but they're just trying to get you into the mood. Having gotten you into the mood, then they say, you know, the point. But the feeling is, unless you're in the mood, you won't appreciate the point, right? But in these kind of discussions, then being that it's a logical circle, you start with the thesis. Then there's a reason, then there's examples like that.
So the thesis in this case is falling from the spiritual world or not falling.
Okay.
The stage.
But then you have to define spiritual world, and you'd have to define falling.
Will you please?
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, when you're going through.
But with all humility, and I pray, because I don't have any, to invoke humility of Prahlada Maharaj. So, this subject, although maybe presented like apparently like, joking way, I'm gonna try to play some.
I was joking about LA and I'm from there, so I have that right, so please don't compare the two.
No.
Santa Monica, right there, Venice Beach.
Sure, okay.
Okay, so I can get away with it.
I know.
But,
so, therefore, if you know already, so let's make it short. For the pleasure of the deities.
Well, we have to end at 8:45.
Yes. This never ends.
That's there.
Right.
But it's which never ends.
Let me ask you one thing. This is part, although we didn't set the whole parameters of what are they involved, you just start with scratch, and we are going to understand, because we have to present also what is the conclusion. And the conclusion could be that you defeat me, I defeat you, or both.
No, that's the argument. Conclusion means is that you've established the thesis.
That's correct. There you go.
So that's what I'm saying. What's the thesis? What are we trying to establish?
Establish that is where I am in Maya or in the spiritual world. But in this environment, it's very simple, actually. It's not that, you know, I try to incorporate somebody else or this and that. The problem is that in the 30 years, for the last 34 years in the issue has been explained that this is a dream, what we are living in this material world. And this dream, considering that also we dream within this dream, because when I go to sleep I am still dreaming, means that allows me to intellectually, as you call it, the armchair philosopher, to project himself with philosophy, that, because you just mentioned also carry Mayavada philosophy within. So, the principle of having the state of consciousness that I am in the spiritual world could lead to Prakriti Sahaja activities within the parameters of devotional service, because artificially I am posing, because not artificially, but I'm having an intellectual approach to the truth. Everything is one, only Krishna and his energies exist. Therefore, when I assume that I am in the spiritual world, there is no need to follow the guru, as you may be seeing within the parameters of the Vedic culture, because I, according to this purport, I am already in a spiritual body, and I'm senior to you, let's say, right? Then you observe me as an authority, let's say, just like quote some different authority. I am a GBC, let's say, or a medic GBC, whatever, you know, something that it creates this respect. Therefore, I treat you equal to equal, one to one, okay? Whatever I do is within the pure consciousness, right? I can incorporate into this state of consciousness also the Riddhic false theory that everyone is my guru, because actually in the purest state of consciousness, everyone is my guru. And therefore, when I think, even though I... 20.
Yeah, see, the difficulty is... Yeah, yeah.
Ask the question.
No, the difficulty that's coming here is that, see, we're speaking what is being given by the acharyas here. For the last 30 years, you've been hearing various opinions of various devotees that may have clearly or not so clearly understood a point or not. So, the difficulty comes is that in this forum, when I gave a class that made very distinct between external energy, internal potency, material and transcendental, and spiritual as what's in between, I would say it's unfair to try to deal with 30 years of dissatisfaction and others' explanation, and then we all need to listen to that. The point is in that explanation that was there, where is the difficulty? Because as we have pointed out, is that because we are so accustomed to time and space, we will define the spiritual world by time and space. But Prabhupada makes a distinction, and Bhaktivinoda Thakura makes a distinction occasionally, as needed, that there's a difference between spiritual and transcendental. They'll be, say, material, spiritual, transcendental. Material means that you're not seeing the Lord's energy in connection with the Lord. Transcendental means you're seeing it in connection with the Lord. Spiritual means you're not seeing either. One is in between. So the difficulty with that is, very easily, material will say, in the material world, in material consciousness. Spiritual world, we're in the spiritual world, in transcendental conscious relationship with Krishna. What's not understood is the platform of Brahman, that is Tathasta, so it's in between. It can either be situated within the spiritual world, but you're not in spiritual, in transcendental consciousness. Or you can be situated within the external energy, but you're in spiritual consciousness. So in either case, you're in a neutral state. That's the state of choice, which way you go. So based on this principle, then you have to make your presentation, because what someone else has said and what you've heard here and there basically wouldn't be relevant for this discussion. It would be relevant for a different forum.
So, in this case, because Prabhupada is addressing in his purport that the devotee that thinks reaches the stage of liberation, he has a spiritual void. Let's say in that stage of consciousness, I don't envy anybody.
Right.
I don't have envy absolutely of anybody. I'm very joyful, therefore. The problem is all the people that look at me and may envy me, because they are already envying Krishna, right? So therefore, their envy is in their body. I continue with my state of consciousness, although maybe wrong.
But yes, no, that's true, but what I'm seeing here is where still I would feel skirting the question. Means if we're talking about the position of the jiva falling, the position of the jiva falling, see, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes it clear in the Brahman and Vaishnava. There's no such thing as remaining in a neutral state. A neutral state means it automatically turns away and goes to the negative. So, the point is if you don't directly pursue devotional service, you will turn away and become envious. You know, so I say, and that is happening, that choice is happening on the spiritual platform. Because, as we say, is that the acharya is in the material world, but he's not there, because he's in the material energy, but he's in the spiritual world. In the same way as the jiva can be in the spiritual world and not be there, and be in the Brahman, or even be in the material world. Right? Because definition of the material world is not a location and is not by an energy. It's that you see the Lord's energy as something to enjoy. So when demons come into Vrindavan, they see the place as something to enjoy. So even though they may be situated by location within the internal potency, they're actually in material consciousness. So they're in the material world. The difficulty comes is because we're separating the spirit, the internal potency and external potency as two completely separate entities, but they're different manifestations of one entity, of the Sarup Shakti. So how you deal with her is how she responds. So it doesn't matter where you're situated. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm following your good approach. Starting up this conversation, discussion, the day, whatever everybody is going to take it, the day is like, you very well pointed out that within this sambandha, there is also the subdivision. So I will also highly offer this thought within the conclusion that everything happens in that circumstances between the two energies. Also, there should be the same formula, right? In the sense that, you see, if I don't accept that the location, because location...
No.
I want to finish this.
Okay, but I'm just saying is, I don't feel you get what you're looking for. Because see, it's, again, someone is saying that it's Brahman, as in Brahma Jyoti, because that's all they understand of Brahman. Others are saying it's Goloka Vrindavan. It's not applicable to this discussion.
Correct, but I didn't finish the presentation. When I referred to location, I wasn't saying Goloka. I was just saying that there is a location, like every energy has a location of field of activities.
No, there's a location of manifestation, but there's not a location as such.
Three-dimensional or multi-dimensional.
He says, pradan means it's unmanifest, so it pervades everywhere. But within the mahat tattva, then the atoms of the material pradan, then they're manifest. But otherwise, even in braja, the elements of atoms of that are there, but they're not manifest, so we call it the spiritual world.
And at the same time, there is Dhamma in Gokula and Goloka, right? There are two differentiations. But at one point, we struck my curiosity, perhaps, if you have some time to elucidate on this, is that the Mahayans have given a process to enter into that realm, which is also practical, and I do believe that Prabhupada also follows that. But some, accepting, it's not that I am against this part of the philosophy. In any circumstances, I'm saying that that actually exists. Under any circumstances, right? Because see, we do not embrace the Chintya-Lila-Lila Tattva, we are on the fourth of not seeing the simultaneously oneness and difference. So I will analyze now from the, or try to analyze, or ask you actually to elucidate on the aspect of the diversity that brings somebody that is meditating in his spiritual body according to the instruction of the Mahayans, which Prabhupada they have given in a condensed format, very short, very fast, like if he gave also this Diksha Parampara, I'm sorry, the Siksha Parampara, which I embrace too. I'm not for the Diksha exclusively, you know, like kind of blood system Parampara. And this applies in every sort of philosophy and connection and application and practice. So Prabhupada gave this immediate shortcut realization of the spiritual body. So why, and this is a humble question, that also I presented to His Holiness Bhaktichalu Maharaj here, if that could be eventually incorporated, or one devotee should not feel that he is from somewhere else outside the parameters of the compound, if he's also using, trying to implement it himself or herself, the systematic process of Lila Smarana. Because this is given by Vishwanatha Virag Goswami. We are not talking here about my intention or anybody else's intention, but actually the main person who has the intention for us to understand this process also. The simple question is that there are two processes here have been analyzed, which I respect both of them. I'm not against any of them.
The two processes?
The process is, as I say, the mere approach that Prabhupada just gave in this purport, right? By changing mere consciousness, we immediately will, because this is what is within us. He gave us the spiritual body, I mean, the achievement. And the other is, for somebody else that may have a different mean of approach, to study and practice this other. Like
the other means?
The other means,
But the thing is, I would say is the mistake is that you're saying it is two different things. No. I'm just saying it's not two different things. Because the point is that following the order of the spiritual master means that you are trying to engage the body, mind, and words in Krishna service. The element of Lila Smarana means that one is purified to the point where there is an attachment to the Lord. And this attachment then gives rise to the mind being able to always be absorbed in the Lord. So it's not that it's another method, because in the Gita even that's given, right? The sixth chapter is about Jnana Yoga. The difficulty comes is that someone who is not able to be spontaneously attached to thinking in this way, then it's simply a matter of sambandha to study such things, because then they know a little bit more about what Krishna does and this and that. But as far as actually being itself a process, it's not. It'll only add to the sambandha aspect of knowledge of their engaging themselves in the Lord's service on whatever platform they are below that platform. You could even say with Ruchi that there would be a touch of that. So, because it's also defined that Ruchi and Asakti are preliminaries to Bhava Bhakti. But they're preliminaries that are not on the liberated platform, right? Because one is still working with the conditioning. But Bhava means one's not working with conditioning. So this verse here is basically dealing with that. Though it could also, you could take the same thing and apply it to the platform of Nishtha, but it specifically is dealing with the Bhava-bhakti. So, because it comes naturally, and it's not something that has to be more explained, then it just automatically goes on. Right? So, the difficulty comes is that we will work on the thing of it by volume, because when you mention that Prabhupada will give it in its seed form, the seed grows the banyan tree. But the thing is if you don't notice it, you don't bother dealing with it, which is the advantage. When someone reads, let's say, through Bhaktivinoda Thakur's literature, because he wants to make sure everything is documented there, then the difficulty is people will read these things and then they will see that, okay, that's more advanced, and because I'm special, so I'm more advanced, so I should be reading this. Then they will get distracted, because spontaneous means it's only a glance or a look. That's all it takes to be thinking about a person 24 hours a day. So it doesn't take much, you know. You don't have to describe more than that. So that's why the acharyas, when they're dealing in their preaching, they'll mention it, but they won't get into the detail, because even when it comes to that platform of Bhava Sadhana, still, it's still dependent upon the same principles, because it's still sadhana. So if you don't take shelter, as it mentions here, of the spiritual master, you won't move forward. That's the difficulty in the first place. Being situated spiritually, one's not taking shelter of the Vaishnavas. Therefore, one doesn't advance, one comes here. But this time, one is taking shelter of the Vaishnavas, so therefore, being on the spiritual platform, one will use it to advantage and come to the platform of prema. That's the difference. So, it's simply a science, and it's same, it's consistent, it doesn't change. You know, even when it comes to prema, one will still follow the instructions of the spiritual master. Right? You know, it's like that. The songs of the acharyas and different works, and they're saying that one is there and one is outside the kunja, one is pulling the rope, fanning the divine couple, and one is in ecstasy being absorbed in this. And then Rupa comes along and says, leave that fan, go pick flowers. So now if one didn't accept this principle of working under the direction of the spiritual master, one would say, what's the problem? I'm okay here, you know, I'm cool. You know, like that, you know, like so many others are there, and then there's another 5,000, you know, to choose from. Why not them? Why me? No, it's just a matter of left because of that acceptance of authority. So in the form of it, that's what we're saying, the Abhideya doesn't change. It's only the level of attachment is the changing.
So there are evidences they may have to repair, you know, comparison. Somebody may not be giving the example.
Sorry?
May not be giving the proper example.
Okay.
You know, so therefore, it creates, it is an authority. I'm not saying, you know, it seems like it's politically inclined of the discussion. It doesn't have anything to do
with it. No, it has nothing to do with this. See, we're engaging nature. Like in India, people are into sadhana and stuff, so you engage that aspect. But at the same time, they're also really into security. So therefore, a temple is made, but it's more for security. A Westerner makes a temple because it's control. You understand? There's a difference. So it's just a matter of engaging the different natures like that. But it's the devotional service remains the same, is that engaging everything in the Lord's service. But the point is it's the desire to engage it that is the service. The engagement of the item is only subordinate to that desire. So it's not that the form and the activity itself is the devotional service. That's why we say spiritual eyes. Right?
So my talking, this is essential what you just mentioned, the form and the spirit or the essence of things, right? In this material world, all the forms are illusory in one sense.
The illusion is we think they're for our enjoyment. This is a table, it's actually there. The material atoms of earth and whatever it takes are actually there. You know what I'm saying?
The point I try to make is that generally it's not that we reject the forms thinking either side, but I accept only or embrace the suttas and reject the form, or I accept the form. We have to live with both of things.
Right.
From this realm, what I meant to say is that we build up by seeing the essence of things and not get caught in these formalities perhaps, right? This is the mind of a liberal person, not so orthodox. But then, in the spiritual world, we do all these things because then we give up the essence. In the spiritual world, everything is form because it's spiritual already. So
no. It's not that everything is form. Everything is mood. And the form naturally follows mood.
That's correct.
You know, it's just like if you, how you say, you know, you tie the rope around the calf and you pull it. You don't have to have any rope around the cow. Yeah, it just automatically follows. So the point is that the quality trying to be obtained is Krishna. The form and activity is his internal potency. That's what's going on. So it's just a matter of how do we come in line with assisting the internal potency in serving Krishna. That's what we're trying to do.
The apparent discrepancy between what you're presenting or what you're trying to clarify now, I see, is that you present the short way of the intellectual approach.
No. This is not intellectual at all. All it is we're clearing away any, we're dealing with a platform where we're dealing with God and His Swarup Shakti, and there's no manifestation of spiritual or material. It's just the original aspect of the Adi Ras. Now, as you expand the jiva, then the jiva can look upon, because their connection with the Lord is through the Swarup Shakti. They can look upon the Swarup Shakti as something to enjoy like the Lord, or they can work as something to assist. And in any case, being a jiva, they are assisting anyway, but it's just a matter of whether you'll assist within the transcendental pastimes or the illusory pastimes, that's all. That's what we're dealing with.
And this comes to the point exactly of having the two planes exactly at the same moment.
Yes.
So this is eternity now. And somebody looking at his own process of self-realization may well eventually incorporate the situation within the culture that suits more his or her mentality. So both have the same right then. Whether the one that is followed the immediate system of Raghunatha Bhakti established by Srila Prabhupada or somebody else.
But there's only one Raghunatha system. There's only one Vaidhi system. It's just a matter of, as I've given the example, unmarried teenage girls, they'll talk all day about boys and sex and this and that. That's what they, you know, that's like their, how you say. But, you know, and even if they're around younger girls, they'll still talk the same thing. You know, they'll hide it a little bit and giggle a little bit. It's very obvious what they're talking about. But married women don't talk about it at all. Because they know that the point is that these aspects are simply situations. But if you're not trained and don't know how to behave as a qualified person, then whether you're married or unmarried, you'll fail in life. So they talk about developing the qualification. But as the qualification is there, the one that will actually give you the real good advice on married life and intimacy and is going to be the married woman, not the unmarried woman.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So therefore, the idea that the acharyas don't, means like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada, don't talk about these things, therefore they don't emphasize it, is they know who they're talking to.
Why, if Prabhupada had concluded, he gave the conclusion that nobody falls from Vaikuntha planet, he still would believe that we fall in the from the presence of Krishna.
The point is presence of Krishna, you're in the presence of Krishna right now, but the point is you have to understand what that is, because even, see, that's what I'm saying, is that the thesis that you're presenting is based on what others have said. I never said that, so that's why I was saying it's not actually the forum for that discussion. Is that when we're saying here, the acharyas make it clear that when you come to this platform that this verse is talking about, you're within the spiritual world, you're within the tam, you're within your spiritual form, you're there in the overall general pastimes, but until you are able to properly catch the mood of the spiritual master, you then only get introduced to the eternal associates. In their association, they'll engage you in services that are connected with Radha and Krishna, but they will see your mood. When the mood's right, then they'll point out to you Radha and Krishna. You'll see them directly. Then, having come to that, then when they recognize you, then you'll be part of their pastimes. But you are never directly interacting with Krishna. You're always, even though you're standing in front and handing something to Krishna, you're doing it as a servant of your spiritual master serving the parampara. So these things are happening at once. So I've never said that, so it's not appropriate.
I'm one of the first witnesses and to declare profoundly, you never say that.
Yeah, so we never say that. So that's what I'm saying is, what others say about it shouldn't be discussed in this forum.
But Maharaj.
You know what I'm saying? To find a forum how to discuss with others about it, that they think I'm in a loving relationship with Krishna, and then one day I just out of the blue get envious. That's, they just don't understand. They don't have enough information.
No, actually, Maharaj, in
You know what I'm saying? But that one is in one's spiritual form, within the spiritual realm, that they're correct in. Right? And then opposing parties will present, no, we were in Brahman, and they mean near Guna Brahman. Right? They're not talking Saguna Brahman, because this is Saguna Brahman. Right? Means the spiritual world is Saguna Brahman. And then there's here is another manifestation, just the gunas here aren't so great. And then you have the Brahmajyoti where the qualities aren't manifest, but it's full of qualities. So they're not understanding that either. So the point is if both sides have less information, then it's not worthwhile to fight one side against the other. The point is just what is it that the acharyas say, deal with that. And if others, and from that position, then you deal with what they're talking about.
Yeah, this is an individual analysis, but when the general practice of
the point is we're not talking general practice. No. We're talking, when the acharyas talk, they talk self-realization, how you can deal with it, and then how to move forward from there. Because general practice is a lot of general practice.
The idea is that we need association. We need an environment and also like-minded person. But when I say it's a general practice within the classes, if you present only one side of it, not as you do, then you present both.
Yes, but so that's there, but that's not this forum. That's to be discussed with a level of leadership that makes decisions about what goes on in class. You know what I'm saying? We're just a guy that, you know, on Sunday we're asked to give a class because they send us a little piece of paper and say what verse it is. And so you kind of understand where you're supposed to be sitting here. So that's not there. And dealing in this forum also won't accomplish what you're looking for.
Anyway,
do you understand?
Yes.
Because the ones that you want to talk to aren't here.
Not even listening to.
You know what I'm saying? So that the point is, but see, is because the element of revolutions in consciousness. Because otherwise, if the revolution is in physical form, it never works out very good for the revolutionaries. You know, Robespierre also got his head cut off.
Gauranga Mahaprabhu is the first student of disobedience.
He's civil disobedience, but, you know, the point is that the civil disobedience that we're talking about is we as a soul aren't going to get involved in the concept of material endeavor that the rest of the world wants us to do, right? Because if you're in material consciousness, you'll be a good part of the community, a good consumer, and therefore you'll boost up the economy, like that. And if you don't, then the problem is you don't invest your money and the market drops. Right, so that's what you do. So the point is we're not involved in the market because we want to get the benefit. We're involved in the world because we can engage aspects of Krishna's service. So, but it's up to the individual to be able to see through the appropriate consciousness for their own benefit, because it means that's how it's going to get done. Otherwise, I woke up this morning, maybe it was an indication of the day, of this, you know, this kind of college, you know, African-American with a very large afro and a bit of a goatee. And he said, power to the people, like that. You know, and I was thinking, where did that come from? That's like so, you know, like something off, you know, Columbia University, 1969 or 68. I think, where is that? And so, but the point is it didn't work for them, right? All of those guys, because the guys that led the revolution had brains. They're all on Wall Street or some business somewhere. That all the guys that were out there in the campus stoned and that got out there and, you know, stood up and got carted off to jail. They're still working at, you know, Kmart or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it doesn't work. That's why what we're supposed to learn from history. The point is, if you change yourself, then the point is then that will inspire others. And then in your dealings with others, then it spreads.
And also, we are lucky that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada also created some revolution. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here discussing all these things.
Yeah, but the revolution is consciousness. Yes. Because the form is, That's why he uses the term in the previous verse that the word, or one before. Yeah, another feature of the devotee is nirihaya, simple living. Niriha means gentle, meek, or simple. So here, gentle means there's gentle ways of doing it. I was just discussing yesterday. One devotee is that it's one thing is noticeable in those that are from a traditional higher social group within any society, any country, is that even though they're very forceful in that, their method of dealing, they can do it very gently. They can use good language, control themselves, and say it very clearly. So that's because that's the level that changes the world, because they're running the world. So you want to change it, it's done at that level, by dealing with culture. But getting out and creating a scene, that only somehow never brings out the riot squad, you know? We're not talking about that.
No, we're
talking about the principle of revolution. The revolution is the principle of consciousness. So that being spoken nicely, you know, this wasn't about you. This was about the method. So devotees may sometimes do it in a rough way, and it'll get some attention. But if you want to actually very much change, you have to be able to present it in a sophisticated way. Sophisticated not mean complicated, sophisticated mean culture. Right? That's where they're real. So that's what I'm saying. It's just various ways of revolting. Right? Because that way is less revolting to those whom the revolution can have some effect with.
As I mentioned before, nobody's listening. Definitely, that's why I was apologizing if this created some difficulties for you, because sometimes not even by the official means of this proposal can be
read. Okay. We should end here for our time. Not for time. Prajnaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Chaitanya Gaurava.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.